Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be here today. We just thank you for allowing us to be in your presence one more time. We just ask you to prepare our hearts for this word that your servant is about to give us. We just ask you that it be all of you and none of him, that you just guide his words, and that he gives everything that you want him to give, and that we openly receive it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. God's an awesome God. I just want to look out at everyone. Because that's what it's about. It's about what Jesus has done for us, but it's about each of us. It's about each of us. As you can see by the title, let's learn how to sharpen our knives properly as iron sharpens iron. Let's turn to Proverbs 27, 17 through 19. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. As in water face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. I want to read it out of the Amplified now. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend to show rage or worthy purpose. Whoever tends the fig tree shall eat its fruit. So he who waits patiently and faithfully guards and heeds his master shall he be honored. As in water, face answers to and reflects face, so the heart of man to man. This sermon has been on my heart since I ministered the word of God about the old wineskins. And we must remember, and I'll try not to deviate, that this, as in this particular scripture, iron sharpens iron. As in a natural, in a knife, I don't want to say a sword, take a knife. And from time to time, you have to sharpen that knife. Did you ever notice, though, that you can be cutting with that knife and it is sharp like a razor? Then it's like all of a sudden you go into the kitchen and it's dull. It seemed like it happened overnight, but it didn't. You see where I'm going? Iron sharpens iron. You take two knives that are made of steel, iron. You have to know how to sharpen them. I meant to bring it. I know how to sharpen some knives now. I used to work at Tyson Poultry's. Oh, I can close my eyes. And my wife would look at me. I said, no, I know when to stop. But I could just do it with my, and pull that thing off. I can cut a piece of paper. People, from time to time, we all lose our sharpness. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care how much word you might think you know. From time to time, we all need to be resharpened because we have lost our what? Edge. This sermon takes the wise principle of being sharpened by one another. I want to touch on 3 points. What does it mean to be sharpened? What does it take to be sharpened? And what are some of the different models that are to be sharpened? As I said before, have you ever tried to use a knife or a pair of scissors? Actually, I tried to use a pair of scissors yesterday. No, day before yesterday, I was so frustrated. I was trying to cut a piece of paper, and the paper just kept bending up in the scissors. It seemed like yesterday I was using those scissors, and they were just sharp. Had to get another pair of scissors. The scissors had lost their sharp edge. They had become dull. The scripture today has the biblical principle that teaches us how to be sharpened. I'll read Proverbs 17 again. It says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You know, there's so much to this walk in walking with God, in his word that he puts for us, that we not just breeze through it, but we take time out to read it and to meditate upon it day and night, to see what God is trying to convey to us. Not one of us in this room is exempt. Not one of us. If you feel you're exempt, I pity the fool. The book of Proverbs is a book about wise sayings and how important it is to be wise. It is written primarily as a way to guide, instruct, and influence Solomon's sons. And yet it teaches all Christians how to live fully in and for the Lord thy God. Amen. We find general sayings of wisdom and truth to live a life of integrity, honesty, morality, or morally, in relationship with our spouse, children, friends, neighbors, guess what? Even your enemies, business associates, and of course, with the Lord himself. As believers, some of the greatest attributes that we can have is being a person of honor. A person of honor. In fact, Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So these wise sayings begins with us being actually in relationship with God himself. So what do we learn about the wise saying and the principles of how we can be sharpened? Think about that. We are like that knife. And at one point we are just sharp, like a two-edged sword. But all of a sudden, one night you may wake up, or one morning, and the sharpness is gone. You don't want to pray no more. You lost your intensity for prayer. Some things I'm going to touch on that are very important, that God deems important as his children. You lost your compassion for others. You lost your mercy for your sister and brothers. You done lost your edge. It's like the glory has left, but you're trying to force the glory. Did you know you can't teach anointing? Many things that can be taught. You're either anointed by God or you're not. You're either anointed by God, his Shekinah glory, his presence, or you're not. Some of us are different. Some of us are hoopers. Some of us are passive. You ain't got nothing to do with it. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. You can't teach the anointing. The more we spend time with God, the more his glory comes upon us. The more we spend time with God, the less of my stinking flesh will rise up. The more we spend time with God, I begin to become angry at the things he is angry at. I begin to hate the things he hates. I begin to love the things he loves. I don't mean to scream. I had intended to be very quiet. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Before I keep on, my wife said, tell everybody she loves you. Amen. And she thanks everybody for the prayers and the texts and the calls and everything. She misses her family. Got that out the way. First point. What does it mean to be sharpened? Just as a knife that is not sharp isn't productive, it isn't useful or helpful or ready. So to be sharpened as a man is to be ready for life, useful, helpful, productive in life and society. Oh yeah. It reflects the fullness of life, physical, emotional, social, as well as spiritual. So to be sharpened really is to be ready, instant, in season, out of season, as I heard Pastor Linda mention last Wednesday, Wednesday before last, and she had to step in during Wednesday night prayer. But I'm glad she stepped in because I was getting ready to get it. I'm telling you, I'm waiting. Bless her heart, she stepped in. But it blessed my heart, though, really. And she just stepped in and she just let go and let God. And there was no lack whatsoever. There was no lack, and she just flowed like rivers of living water or running water, and God moved. Iron sharpens iron. When you sharp, you're ready. You ain't got to pray. Sometimes I hear folk talk. Let me pray about it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that religious stuff. Let me pray about it. No, you don't need to be praying about it. You didn't ask for a job. Now, God didn't open up the door for a job. Now, you got to pray about it? Come on. God says, move into it. So to be sharpened is to be ready, useful, and productive in life and in society. It means to be joined together and grow to meet the challenges in life and even ready for eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. The principle is clear. Just as iron sharpens iron, so we sharpened or influenced someone to prepare, to make glad, to rejoice, useful, productive, and growing in every area of life. We're going to go down a journey today about how to be sharpened, because we all need to be sharpened. We all need to be fouled down a little bit. You got some burrs. You got some nicks on your knives. Okay? It appears to be sharp, but when you go to cut, it's like trying to cut a tomato with a dull knife. You ever tried that one? Try to cut a really ripe tomato with a dull knife. Mush. It's got to be sharp. So what does it take to be sharpened? This is point two. Within this point two, I have three words. Intentional, relationship, and influence. If you notice, I have three in the beginning and in the middle. A threefold cord is not easily broken. There are numbers throughout the scriptures, and they all mean something. Okay? I don't want you to just hear this as a good message. I want you to ponder it, take it home, study it, open it up, and let God speak to you even in a greater way. Too many times, see, we receive a lot of word here. We receive a lot. But some of you are spiritually constipated. Okay? Some of you spiritually constipated. You're eating, and ain't nothing coming out. What's the purpose of constantly eating and eating and eating, and ain't nothing coming out? You're spiritually constipated. Ain't nothing worse than when you're constipated. You're in a bad mood, don't have no patience, you're sluggish. Now, I'm speaking natural, spiritually also. You have no power. You backed up. Backed up. Why? Because everything that flows in us is supposed to flow out. It ain't for you. Yeah, we are to grow. But everything God gives us, he wants us to give it away. Stop holding on. Take some spiritual fiber, people, so you can become regular. You're wondering why you're weak. You're wondering why you're constantly going through the struggles. Take a step back and get into the face of God and ask God to show you you. It ain't always everybody else. It is not always everybody else. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Come on. Three words: intentional, relationship, influence. The process of sharpening in life. Just as an iron has the purpose of sharpening iron, so we must also be intentional about sharpening one another and we being sharpened. We need to seek those who can sharpen us. Mm-hmm. Too many of us want to always do the sharpening. We all need this. It is not an easy process. It's painful. See, we are to provoke each other to good works, to righteousness, amen, to holiness. That's what it's about. We need to seek those who can sharpen us, and we need to intentionally seek those whom we can sharpen in life also. There are many of us who are still babes, been receiving the word for years, been just been eaten of the word, but still carry themselves as newborn babies. I listen very intently, especially when I hear Christians when they go through issues, and it's never them. It's always, I'm thinking to myself, you must be the most anointed person in the world that the devil is all up on you like that. Maybe it's your flesh. Maybe you have lost your sharpness. Maybe you need to be, you got some burrs on there. You know, a little knot on that knife. You need to hit it with the divot. And you need to be filed down a little bit. Just always remember, everything that we go through, there is always spiritual implications. Not about other people, about you. Intentional. Intention also identifies our true purpose. So, what is or should be our intention in sharpening another person? Think about that. How do we do that? How do we do that? The intention, according to Scripture, is to help a person to become complete and ready for God's use, amen, in every area of life. Amen. We must understand that we were created to glorify and to magnify God. There are things God needs. There are things, did you know there are things God can't do? But there are things he needs. He's a jealous God. He takes great pleasure in we human beings when we make a conscious decision that we're going to glorify and praise him. He desires our love. He desires our highest praise. He desires our hallelujah. Come on, bro, I want you to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. She has Jan to say it. Don't sound the same. When it got to come from you. Jesus is an example. In Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom, yeah, stature, and in favor with both God and man. So Jesus grew. He was sharpened in wisdom. He was sharpened physically. He was sharpened spiritually. He was sharpened socially. What a great intention we should have in sharpening others. Oh, but also in being sharpened. The problem is that often we only focus on one area, or we are just haphazard in seeking the sharpening process in our life. When God is trying to reveal something to us, don't resist it. Submit to him. And let him do what he needs to do in your life. Relationship. You can't sharpen if there's no relationship. You can try. Remember this particular, in step two, I have three words: intentional, relationship, influence. Relationship. If I have an iron knife and you have an iron knife, it will never be sharpened if it isn't in relationship with one another. I can see the knife. You can hold your knife up. We can do all that all day long. It has to be in relationship and in contact. The knife has to be present and in contact with the other knife in order for it to be sharpened. So it is with us also. You cannot truly sharpen another person if you aren't together, if you are not in contact with each other, and if you are not in relationship one with another. Did you know this is really called discipleship? Jesus was discipled by his Father. Jesus discipled the disciples. Well, he was in relationship. He was in close proximity. You see an issue in a brother or sister? Don't talk about them. Become their friend. And slowly but surely allow the two irons to come together so that there can be a sharpening. Love covers a multitude. Once again, you cannot truly sharpen another person if you aren't together. If you're not in contact with one another, and if you are not in relationship one with another, the Bible calls this also fellowship. Fellowship. See, many times we come in here and we fellowship. We call it fellowship. Many times it's not fellowship, people. It really isn't. You want to see what true fellowship is? Look at the early years of Jesus' ministry. Fellowship means we're coming together. See, there's something happens when true fellowship happens. True sharpening happens. Communing with one another, coming alongside each other. Why? Because I need you and you need me. I need you so that you can sharpen me, but you need me so that you can be sharpened. We need one another.
Amen.
Iron. Too many want to be an island unto themselves. Don't want nobody to know them. And you're wondering why you have lost your sharpness. Why is there this dullness? The dullness. Why are you always getting in the flesh? Because we need one another.
Amen.
We are our brother's keepers. See, sometimes we don't want to be known because we want to keep some things hidden. See, some of us like to complain. I don't deal well with complaining because God don't inhabit the complaints of his people. I don't want nothing to do with it. But when we discuss, we need to take it to prayer. God inhabits the praises of Israel, and we say the praises of his people. The devil is the accuser of the brethren.
Right.
Allow not the adversary to cause you to be used by him to bring accusations. We need one another. Influence. Iron sharpens iron as it is in contact with iron. The process of contact influences each other and can sharpen the pieces of iron, the iron knives, sharper than a razor. However, in order to really sharpen and not damage, ruin, or make duller, the influence or the influencer has to be done right and know how to do it. Because if you try to sharpen a natural knife, if you don't know what you're doing, that thing could be, it could be sharp at one area, then the next area is dull, then there could be a little divot because you did it too hard. You have to know how to do it. Everything that we do as a believer must be done in love. Everything, because we are to be love-based vessels. For God is love. For God so loved the world. We are created in his image. And so everything that we do is to be rooted and grounded in love. So it is with us. We must know how to do it correctly. We sharpen one another by influencing each other. But it is also important to influence one another the correct way. We should never want to harm another sister or brother. If that's in my heart, then I messed up. Something is wrong. There is a spiritual issue that only God is able to see. Because as God saved me, he saved you. But God also says, how can you say you love me, whom you have not seen? How can you? See, we say a lot. Oh, I love the Lord and all. We're taking it back to elementary. Going to show you what God say on the issue. How can God said, how can you say you love me? You ain't never seen me. You don't know me. We are getting to know him. But yet, you hate your brother, your sister that is right in your midst. See, we want to say we don't like. No. God said, I don't care what you say, what come out your mouth, You don't love me. That's what God is saying. You do not love me. Why does God say that? Because the very person that you despise was also created in the very image of God. Oh. You're not God. We're not God. But we are created in the image of God. Hope I'll get through all this. Let me tell you something. I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever said it on tape. Believe I have. Did you know the devil hates every single human being on this planet? I only won't get on that word highly favored. Well, I didn't talk about that. We say some religious stuff. Don't even know what we're saying. You don't know what you're saying when you say you're highly favored. Better read them scriptures. God says my ways are not my thoughts. We want to kick it with God like he's human. He ain't. He's a holy God. The devil hates every single human being. Whether you're saved or not, I'm going to tell you like that. Why? Don't answer, it's rhetorical. Why is it? Some of you, I'll talk to you, some of you personally. Why does he hate humans? Because when he looks at you, I ain't talking about your physical body. God is a spirit. When he looks through that vessel, that home, that earth suit, when he looks at you, he sees the image of God, whom kicked him out of heaven. So when he looks at mankind, he sees the very image of God, whom he hates. So he hates mankind because we are the image of God, whom he despises. Now, when you come to walk with God, oh, it's a double whammy. Because of the name of Jesus Christ, because we were washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, because we were cleansed by the Lord. But don't get it twisted. The devil hates all of mankind because we were created. Whether you're walking in that or not, you were created in the very image of the Lord thy God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We sharpen one another by influencing each other. But it is also important to influence one another in the right way. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. That is why the Bible calls each of us to teach, encourage, set an example, explain, exhort, urge, and to spur each other on towards love and good deeds, and so on. The Bible also teaches us to be careful in the words we use, the example we set, and what we are influencing others towards. Scripture says a little leaven That is why I don't like a lot of complaints. A little leaven leavens. Did you know it can influence you in a bad, ungodly way? I remember when I was the internet manager at McGeorge Toyota. And this young man was hired who had a pass. And everybody just kept coming up to me saying this, that, boom. And what it was doing before I even met the individual, it was forming an opinion in my brain. I had to stop it. I had to wash myself, cleanse myself. I had to reverse everything that was spoken. Because why? It was beginning to influence me in an ungodly way. The process of sharpening one another involves intention, relationship, and influence. One thing is for certain, and that is we cannot sharpen one another by being indifferent, independent, incognito, basically having one's identity concealed. You're under the radar. You say one thing, but under the radar, you say something else. God says, be not like that. The third point, what are some different models to be sharpened? The examples of ironing, sharpening iron is one example. But the scripture also demonstrates for us the process of sharpening each other. Parents and children. You can relate that to Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. The Proverbs themselves are an example of a father influencing and sharpening his own children. A friend to friend. You look at David and Jonathan, Philip and Nathaniel. But also Jesus wants to be our friend to sharpen us. See, when we really, really want to be used by God, understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about in the church. I'm not talking about things we have aspirations to do within our local assembly. I'm talking used by God outside of the church. Why? Because you spend more time in the world than you do in here. Friend to friend. You have a desire to want to read the word, but you just can't seem to do it. Or something gets in the way. Get with people who has a passion to read God's word, to study it. You want to increase in your prayer life. But it's just not there. You try and you try and you try. Get with those who love to pray. You want to be that love vessel, but you just can't see. Get with people that you know have the gift of love. That is called a gift of love. Oh, you're judgmental. You're critical. you need to get with those that ain't going to put up with that. Point blank. Because the devil wants you to get away with it. Let me tell you, when I pastored in Louisa, them folk used to always say, how come we can't get away with? How come we can't get? Well, why do you want to get away with sin? Why do you want to get away with sin? Sometimes, people, we need to be confronted in a godly way. Some of us don't want nobody to tell us what to do. We grown. Oh, I'm 30 years old. Please. Lord have mercy. Oh, I'm 40. Okay. Some of us don't want nobody to tell us what to do. You're bullheaded, you're stubborn, you're rebellious rascal. Better receive it. Because God don't mince words. If my people call by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray, seek my faith. What'd he say on this? What the next one he say? I ain't call you wicked. God doesn't mince words. God don't play with us. God ain't playing. And the devil ain't playing. Tomorrow's not promised. Oh, tomorrow, how devastating it would be to be playing with the Lord. The Lord been dealing with you. And you refuse to submit and to humble yourself. And God take you out in the midst of that. Then you saved, you won't lose your salvation. Oh, but you're going to lose a whole lot of rewards. Now, you might make it in. You might not. I'm going to tell you this straight up. You might not. I ain't one always saved, once saved, always saved. No, it says that many will fall from the faith, giving heed. Even says that the righteous are scarcely. That means they gonna get in by the skin of their teeth. Why? Because we all have struggles. We're not perfect, but we should be striving for perfection. What are some of the different models to be sharpened, friend to friend? Older men with younger men, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Older women with younger women. Younger women, listen to the older women. Some of you rascals are just as rebellious as you want to be. Nobody can tell nobody what to do. Listen to the older women. They have wisdom. Teach older women so that they can train the younger women. Brothers and sisters in Christ with other brothers and sisters in Christ equals what? Fellowship. Amen. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as so are in habit of doing. But let us encourage one another and all the more as we see the day approaching. In closing, just as you try to cut something and found that your knife or your scissors were dull, you sharpen the instrument and you think to yourself, wow, why didn't I do this before? It cuts great now. That's how we are. We become dull and we don't even realize it. We don't realize that our knife needs to be resharpened. It is the joy we experience when we invest our lives to sharpen others to grow. Did you know that's really what we are to be? I continue to say, everything that God has given you, He wants you to give it back. And there is no greater fulfillment than when you are able to invest your life into others. Don't be selfish. Give of yourself unconditionally into sowing into other people's lives. Kick it with them. Stop always waiting for others to reach out to you. Man of God, woman of God, why are you waiting for others to reach out to you? Man of God, woman of God. WWJD, sow into people's lives. Reach out to them. Fellowship. Disciple them. Understand what discipleship is. It's not just about always finding fault and you do. No. Walk with people so that they can see when you go through difficult things, they see how you are able to come out. That's what Jesus did. Peter went to cut the man's ear off. We have to disciple. But you got to come out of yourself. Selfishness. You're selfish. Come out of self. Hang with people. I don't care if they curse. Let them curse. Are y'all that saved? Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Have you gotten that saved where you ain't never heard nobody say a curse word? Whatever. I can curse with the best of them. I still know how to curse now. See, we get so holier than thou. Nobody wants to be around. I don't want to be around somebody that look like they're always sucking on a lemon. How you doing? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. You better back up from me. Because you don't know what you're saying. I can see me now going home. My wife asked me, honey, how was the service? Oh, baby, it was blessed and we were highly favored. Girl gonna tell me, you better go on back up there because you need prayer. Try it again. We're too religious. I don't like that religious spirit. We need to, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. Okay? It's literally okay. Ain't gonna hurt nothing. As we have learned what it means to be sharpened, the process of being sharpened and the models for sharpening, I truly believe that Paul sums it up best when he said in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, this is from the Amplified, "So, being thus tenderly and affectionately desirous of you, we loved you so much, we continued to share with you not only God's good news, the gospel, but also our own lives as well. For you had become very dear to us." That's how we are to be, sowing our lives into people. Walking with people, helping people, even letting them see you may get a little bit out of the spirit. It's okay. But to see you come back in the spirit in a righteous way. I'm telling you right now, Pastor Ange make me hot as a hornet sometimes. That thing, I loved her dearly. That thing used to make me hot. One day she told, "You just stupid." Don't that sound like her? "You just stupid. You need to stop it." I'm like, "I am? Yeah, you're stupid." Don't that sound like her? But we had fellowship one with another. We had a relationship like that. I ain't never called her stupid. Mm. Oh, yeah, praise God. Not too. No. But that's what relationship. It's like my best friend. I remember. And I'm closing. I remember at this point, we were working at Patrick Kia off of 9 Mile Road. He's a pastor. And he's the one that said, "Mike, why don't you come down here? We have fun." Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, "All right." And this is my best friend. We've been best friends since we were like 5 years old. Okay, and I'll be 64 in July. So that's all. Long time. I know that boy longer than my wife. Lord have mercy. And so one day we were working. I don't know what he did. He did something. And so we were in one of the company cars. I think we were going to get gas or something. I think he was driving because he had just sold the car and filling up with gas. And I got in that car and I told him about himself. Won't yelling or nothing. But I forget what it was about. He just looked and he took it. But I knew my day was coming. I knew because I know him. Months and months and months went by. I don't even know what I did. I did something. Now I'm driving in the car. He over there. Oh, my Lord. That thing gave it to me. I mean, it was just going. I mean, them dots was throwing. But did you know it's true? But it was true what I said to him. What am I saying? I took it. It affected our relationship not one bit. This is what it means, fellowship. This is what it means, family. This is what it means, discipleship. This is what it means, influence. This is what it means, together. All right. As we consider this truth, the principle of living wise, I want each of you to ask yourself the following questions. Who sharpens you? Who sharpens you? Or have you gotten to the place where nobody can sharpen you? Where you got to sharpen everybody else? And you don't want to hear anything else anyone else has to say, because you call it, it's criticism. Did you know there's what we call constructive? So, who sharpens you? Who are you intentionally sharpening? What are you being sharpened or influenced for in life and for eternal life? How are you sharpening and or influencing others to be ready for God's kind of life and for eternal life? What rough areas, dull areas in your life need a little filing? Grab hold to that. What dull area on that knife? It cuts, but it gets to a certain point and just like stop. Might be a burr, but you just didn't sharpen it properly. Is it the rough area, the dull area of complacency in your walk? The rough, dull area of unforgiveness? The rough, dull area of bitterness? The rough, dull area of jealousy? The rough, dull area of laziness? The rough, dull area of just being plain mean. Some of us are just mean. Mean people. You're fussy, argumentative, complaintive, merciless. The rough, dull area of just a lack of love. The rough, dull area of merciless. The rough, dull area of unforgiveness. The rough, dull area of just being false. Pretending to be someone that you're not. Hypocrisy? Can dull your knife. The rough, dull area of pridefulness. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Let's learn how to sharpen our lives properly. Iron sharpens iron. You could have been a member of this church from the beginning, and your knife can be dull. You could be going through the routine of ministry, and your knife could be dull. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. You may have been in ministry, a part of a church all your life. And you may have a form of godliness, but there's no power thereof. If you're not saved, seriously, we do this, we say this, if you really are not saved, you really want to be saved, sanctified, sold out, where you don't want to struggle, go through these struggles like you've been struggling with, let me tell you, the only person that can hold you back is you. Because all the devil can do is bring temptation and accusations. He can't force us to do and to sin. If you're not saved, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Okay. Okay. If your knife is dull, and you so want it to be sharpened once again, you know what has caused your knife to be dull. But you want to be that on-time Christian, that sharp Christian. You want to be like that two-edged sword. Raise your hand so that I can pray for you. You're tired of being religious, but you want to be authentic now. You want more of God's anointing, more of His power to rest upon you. You want the Holy Spirit to land upon your shoulders as He did Jesus Christ. And you really want to walk in all the glory and all the anointing that God has for you, so that He can use you for His glory. Raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Okay. Those that raise their hand, come forward and space yourself out. Every person that raised their hand, come forward and